the bottom of Kuchav Gimel on the Beis. Today's daf is Kuchav Dalav. It's actually a fairly large daf. We're literally two lines to the bottom of the page, just to get our bearings. We were in the middle of discussing a Machlekes Reish Lakish with Rabbi Yechanan, whether or not when you have a... Very good, yeah, exactly. When you have a beged that became tamei, and you put it into a mikveh, if you then tear it, rave the way, doesn't make it mikveh normally, it's hair of shemesh. Tearing it, rave the way, does that make it enough that it's no longer going to be tamei, or not? So Reish Lakish came along and said that if we're talking about something which is hide, which is leather, then it's that even if it rave is torn, since the little bit that's still attached is strong, exactly, it's chalom, it's strong, and therefore it still will not be considered a broken kli, a broken beged, and it will require waiting till nightfall for the tear to take place. And we had Rabbi Yechon argue, says, no, even by our tearing rave is sufficient. That's Machlokes Rabbi Yechon, Shlakish, early in the Dafs, but now it's another kasha under Shlakish. Masar of Yirmiyah, Taner Shenitma, a Taner that became Tameh. Ketzah Matar, and I say, how does one make the Taner Tar? Now, so just to give a little quick background, Tanurim back in the day were typically, stam tanner that they refer in the Mishnah as a tanner of earthenware. Earthenware becomes tame, but we know that even if tame just goes into the airspace of the kli, it makes a tame. But what's more important for us over here is that once it's tame, you can't dip it in the mikvah and make a tar. You can't purge it. The only way to make earthenware tar is by breaking it. Okay, so ketzim tanner say, hey, matarit. Cholka l'shlesha, you split it into three parts. Splitting it in half is not sufficient. Why? Because maybe the small half would be good, but the larger half, which is rave, will still be chashev enough to be an oven, and therefore won't become tar. So in order to make it tar, you split it to three. And by the way, splitting to three is not just a magic number of three. You're making sure to split it that no part of it is more than half. By splitting it to three, you're careful. Each one of the three pieces are not larger than half, or not rave of it. V'goyres tetfela. And furthermore, you got to take off the plaster. They used to put plaster around the walls of this earthenware oven, because earthenware oven was almost more like a cylinder. It didn't have a base even. It was like a cylinder. You put it on the ground, and then you put plaster around it, to give it strength, to retain the heat primarily, and also to secure it to the ground, and also retain the heat close to the ground where it wasn't really, there's no base, so air could escape. So they would put plaster all around the sides, all the way to the bottom, and attached to the ground. Says this Braisa, this Mishnah in Kalim, that you metire the oven by dividing it into three, crack it into three pieces, and getting rid of all of the plaster. What's the idea behind the plaster? Because as long as the plaster is there, it connects all the pieces. You could crack the pieces inside, but if the plaster is like tape, it still binds them, it's still considered clean. So you got to get rid of the plaster as well. Achia ba'aretz, until it's stripped off all the plaster, even down to the ground, not just the plaster on the sides of the clean, all the way down to the plaster at the base by the which connects to the ground. In its arach leligras tefela achia ba'aretz. Mer says, you don't have to scrape off the plaster on the sides, and the way they touch this, and certainly you don't have to take off the plaster that is going all the way to, by the ground area. If you don't have to take off the sides, you don't have to take off the plaster by the ground. Ella, we're in the top of Kufchav Talam Aleph, we're in the third line. You might on the inside, less than, to pieces less than four tefachim. We'll discuss later, when we say less than four tefachim, does it mean height-wise or width-wise? We'll see, depending on where the crack is. You might it's pieces less than four tefachim, and when you might so period. So we see Kort Meir, when you might less than four tefachim, it's tar. Amai lemachalom koi. Meir is saying you need not strip off the plaster, you need not break it into three. Just make sure none of the pieces. You have to break it where the pieces are smaller than four tefachim each. But even if you broke it and the piece of one that's smaller than four tefachim, if there's plaster around it, that secures it. That's like the leather is still attached. That's strong. That secures it. Says the Gemara, "Hakachalim." It's strong. It's chalim. It's the same binding power, so to speak. Reish Lakish says over there, it doesn't take a fatuma. Here too, it should take a fatuma. Almei Rav says, 1 second. You're asking Kashra Meir, bring it right for the Rabbanon. Amen. The Rabbanon goes fail out Shebaret. The Rabbanon says you have to take off the plaster until it gets to the ground. You see the Rabbanon more makbid on this plaster. Instead of asking a Kashon Reish Lakish for a Meir, bring a Raya for the Rabbanon. So rather, the mission really is not Shvei Reish Lakish. Number one to begin with, because he has the Rabbanan to back him up. But more than that, Rava says the conversation of the Mishnah really is totally different. I'll make everyone in the Mishnah feel like Reish Lakish. Elam Rav Hachamar Tana Shenit Mekitz Matana Say a Tana that became Tamei Hayim Matayre Dibra Kol Chagel Shleishi. You got to
divide into three pieces, the girth is fela, meaning even Rebbe agrees, even Rebbe Meir agrees, adshe baretz, to scrape off the plaster till you get to the base, till they get to the ground, and you're breaking into three, meaning not what we said before is machlokes, everyone agrees, even Rebbe Meir agrees. And that fits like a mishloka, you gotta get rid of all the plaster, and it's all good. Where's the machlokes, Rebbe Meir? V'reitza shela yavi, Yavai, Tanurai, Lidei Tum, if he wants to do a preventative measure, that the Tana shouldn't be susceptible to Tum in the first place, Ketzurai, so what could he do to put into a matziv that it can prevent it from becoming Tame? So over there, to cause it to lose its status of a Kli prior to being Tame, is that's where Meir is more lenient and says it takes less to take away the status of Kli prior to becoming Tame than to take away the status of Kli once it became Tame as a Kli. Says the Gemara, that's Yav Machlekes. Case is what you do. According to the Tanakama, the Rabban, they still say same thing. Bring it to three parts. The Goy does Tefela Ashe Baretz. Bring it to three parts and strip off all the plaster all the way down to the ground. That's the same. The Chums maintain the same. The same process has to be done that one would do for a Kli that became Tame. Rav Meir, here's where Rav Meir says, you don't need to strip off the plaster to the outside of the Kli, nor certainly not strip off the plaster down to the ground. It's like Kol Shekein. Ela Mamayta Mefim Arba Tvachim. Make a break it for the inside into pieces of Asa Fortvachim, and that's sufficient. And that is before it became Tame, that's enough to prevent it from becoming Tame, that's fine. But once it became Tame Avada, you need to break in the proper way according to everyone. And it would not be Shvar Mishlakish. Amar. Now the Mar, once we reconcile the Raisa, the Mishnah, I should say, in Kalim, but the Mar now analyzes the Mishnah a little more. Chalkal Ishlakish, we say you split into three parts. Sounds like if you split into two parts, that's no good because you have a rave of the oven, and rave of the oven, having rave of the oven intact is still a problem. Vremin, but we have a Stira with another Mishnah in Kalim. And by the way, these two Mishnahs are both in the same parak in Kalim. The Mishnah we quoted before is in the fifth parak Mishnah Zion, and now we're quoting the fifth parak in Kalim Mishnah Aleph. And the Mara is saying, we have a steer in the two Mishnahs. Taner, Tchlosa Arba. It says in the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the parak over there in parak Kalim, the Taner, the original height of the Taner is four Tvachim. That was so bad, meaning, when you make a new oven, when it's that height, that's when it becomes considered properly to be susceptible for Tumah. Vishyar of Arba, and the remnants also needs to remain four tvachim, divrei Meir, meaning, let's say the oven was originally larger, and you broke it, so in order to take away the tumah, you have to break it where the shirayim are, the shirayim are smaller pieces than four tvachim. That's our Meir sheet, divrei Meir. V'chamayimim, v'medvamamurim begadol. That's all by a large oven. A large oven, you're right, that's the shir. Ava b'katam by a small oven, t'chulasakolshu. It's original height. It starts, could be any amount, which we'll see later, means at least a tefach. Next line, we'll see it. And t'chasa kol shu, v'shatik mar malachte, shir berubai. So a small oven, its original height could be any shir, which we'll say means at least a tefach, but a tefach, even one tefach. And the remnants would be rave of whatever that original shir was. So based on what we can say in the next line, at the original shir is a tefach, rave of a tefach would seemingly be the shir. Let's see, v'kama kol shu, what's the kol shu? I'm v'yabiyana a tefach, like we just spoke out. A tefach, shekeit eisen tenur, but eis tefach. Because they make these ovens for the little children of a nice tefach. So this really answers the question that one of you were presumably going to ask, and Yudari asked it this morning, that if you tell me a big oven, the shear is four tefachim. Small oven is one tefach. Okay, fine. So if it's not a big oven, it's a small oven. You might as well just give me a smaller shear and call it a day. Why is it even relevant, the bigger shear? The answer is that it really depends what the usage of the oven was for. A big oven is a standard oven used in the kitchen, used by adults for their family, for a baker, for whatever usage. The small oven was more of a children's oven, whatever that means. It was used by Tinaikis. It was a specific usage. So only then, if you're making an oven the Havkel or the Mushel, like the baby dollhouse, you're making the children's oven, whatever that means, the children's oven, then this small oven taka has a status and has a shame oven because for that usage, it's called an oven. But if you'd make us that tiny small oven for a regular adult, for regular usage, that we're talking not have a shame oven. It's not, it's the normal oven for a regular person would be this four tefach oven. So, again, that was the same size.
The fireplace is not built up.
Correct. So it's bichal. You don't have three sides anyway. You don't have four sides anyway. Yeah, I mean, it depends.
You have three sides.
It depends on the case there. If you have, yeah, it depends. Well, I'd say the same guidelines. If it fits the criteria, yeah.
Is it a big one or is it smaller?
Big one. Who depends who's using it?
Oh.
Depends who's using it. If it's being used by, right? Okay, the Kama Kol, should we said? So we said it's a Tefach. Fine. Now, let's make a deal. Taima, Dika, Shirayev, Arba. The reason why we're saying in the Mishnah why it has the shape of Tumah is because it retained a Shirayev Arba. Haleka, Shirayev Arba. If the Shirayev are less than four Tefach, it will be Tar. Now, it doesn't say what about being Rave oven. If my oven was five Tefachim, and I break it in half, Rave is three Tefachim, the meat is two Tefachim, as I break it three and two. According to what we said in the Mishnah Zion that we quoted on Amud Aleph, that we quoted earlier, bottom actually, and we quoted that on Amud Beis, according to that Mishnah, we said as long as you have Rave still intact, it's tummy. So you have to break it into Shleish, three pieces, in order not to have Rave. It sounds like if I have Rave, even if it's only three Tefachim big, it's still intact, it's still tummy. And here it's saying for Mishnah Aleph, you need a minimum of four. It's a stira. Amri, Gemara says, there's a big difference, how are you breaking it? Hasam Tzalki Mitzlak. It depends if you're breaking it across the width of the kli or across of the height of the kli. Are you breaking it top to bottom or side to side, we'll call it, the width, right? It makes a big difference. Says the Gemara, Hasam Tzalki Mitzlak. In the Mishnah that says it's got to be less than four tefachim, it's talking about we're splitting it horizontally, splitting it across. And when you split it, Hachat, well, let me read further, Hachat Avdi Gistra, in the Mishnah that says that it shouldn't be a majority of the oven, that's talking about we split it vertically, split it top to bottom, and over there, we're saying it can't, as long as it's right, it's still going to be a problem. The difference is, in the case where you're breaking it across the width horizontally, you've reduced the height, but it's more than that. It doesn't rest properly on the ground because it's all jagged. That's right, the bottom half of the chair would be if the bottom half is the big riff. But the top half, assuming the top is the big riff, it's all jagged, it won't work properly on the ground. So besides for even if it's a rave, it's not sufficient. It's gotta be up to four tefachim to account for the fact that it's jagged, it's not gonna sit straight, and still there's enough space to have a oven area inside there. Whereas when you cut a top to bottom, it's still obviously if it's 50 feet tall and only 3 inches wide, it's going to tip over. But the point is, if you cut it top to bottom in a way where it still can stand, you still have an oven that's standing. It still works. So even less than exactly the structure is strong enough in a way, even less than four tefachim is a problem. What's the shear there? The shear there is rave. Okay. Amarar shiarav berubai. We said in that Mishnah, the shear is rave. That's the second Mishnah Vav with you, right? As long as you have rave, it still retains the tumah. Rubai the tepach mechazi, but we said that to the Mishnah, a small oven, a kol shu oven, rubai is enough. Rubai also is still a status. Rubai a kol shu oven was a tefach. Rubai of a tefach is an oven. What's that fit for? It's garnished. So Amar Abaye shiyare gadol berubai. When the end of the Mishnah says when you have rave, it's going back on the big oven, and we're saying that when you have a large oven, as long as you have rave of it, that's sufficient. The Marcel says the problem. Again, we're back to Stira, to the Mishnah. The Amir Abban Arba. But the Mishnah said it needs to be four Tvachim. Does that fit? Does that number fit with the number of Rav? Like Kash, how about Tanur Bar Tisha, how about Tanur Bar Shiva? Marcel said it really depends. When your oven is seven Tvachim big, four would talk to be Rav of seven. When your oven was nine, in that case, in order for it to retain the Tumah, it would have to retain five Tvachim. Taka, if you have a nine Tefach oven, and you broke into, obviously you have to be three pieces, and you have four, four, and one, so the one is garnished anyway, or three, three, and three, whatever it is, none of them have five, none of them arrive, and therefore it would lose the status. Okay, Lishna Achrin, the Mar now goes to another full, a different version of the whole ending of the conversation there, the qualification of Rav Huna, Mishum, Bishma, Bevesi, and Mish Lakish. Remember, we spoke about a talus that was dipped. It's tamei. It went to mikvah. It's here. It's waiting for its full yom. It's waiting for shemesh for nightfall to become tar. And we had, we said if you tear it, the Mishnah says in Kalim, if you tear it, tearing it, rave of it takes away the status of kli and it's tar immediately off the way for nightfall. And we had some qualifications. So the last of the qualification was the first one was that if you left over a shear of a kerchief, that's already chashiv and not batel. And then we had a Rish Lakish came along and said, even if you didn't leave over a kerchief, even if you tore a rave, but if it's leather, that's also strong, and that's also a problem. That was the first version. Now we have a whole separate version. Amar Rav Huna, Mishum Rav Shmuel Bar Beisi, Afilu Shia Bakhtem Afaris. According to this version, it's opposite. Even if there was a shear for a handkerchief, that's not enough, which is a big chiddush. Normally, a shear of cloth, the size of a handkerchief, as I assume it's gimel by gimel, is enough to have a status of a cloth and retains tumah. The chiddush is, since this is part of a bigger talus, a talus that was torn down, rave,
even if there's a shear that's not torn at the base, that's the shear of a handkerchief, since it's part of a bigger talus that's been torn, it lost the status of kli, and taka would be tar immediately. You would not have to wait for nightfall. According to this version, Reb Huna Mishum Shabbat Reis is being makelot saying that it's totally batal. And Reb Shlakish came along on this to say, according to this, Amar Reb Shlakish, Leshen al talus aval ar chashev. According to this version, Reb Shlakish was saying nothing to do that leather is a chibur and it's not a good tearing. No, that's not what he's focused on. You're telling me if you tore a rave and you had a shear of a handkerchief, it's still going to be batal. Says Reb Shlakish, only by cloth. Of cloth, you tore a rave and the shear of a handkerchief by cloth, not enough to keep it chashev enough to be a kli, to be a beged. But if you have by ur, leather, again, maybe because it's stronger, maybe because it's more chashev, but still, by leather, a shear of handkerchief would be enough to say, even though you tore a rave of it, it still retains the shame kli because at least you have a handkerchief of leather, which has status. But according to this, even Reb Shlakish would agree that leather is not, it's not a matter of being strong enough to give it a shame that's not called rip because it's so strong. It's a separate svara. Rabbi Yechad Amar, if you learn Ami L'chash, Rabbi Yechad come along again, argues with Reb Shlakish and says, even ur is not chashev. It's even though if a leather handkerchief size is not going to be chashev, it's going to be batal because you tore a rave of it, it's batal. Again, we ask the question of Rabbi Shlakish, and again from the same Mishnah as we quoted before. Arab Tami Midras, hide that is leather that is Tami Tumas Midras, the Tumma of Zav, and he is sitting on it or lying on it. Chishev has his Tumma. Chishev of Ritzul Basanalam, if he had a mind that he's going to convert this leather. Cloth, a material that was sat on or lied on, he's going to cut it down to size, make it like straps, and make it sandals. So he's going to chop it into much smaller pieces. So kimish nusim by yizemel tar. Rabbi Yehuda says once he starts the process, he puts a knife to it. It's tar because that's an act of being mevatelit from a shame kli. It's no longer being used as a mat, right, or as a spread. It's now going to be used as ritzus and sandal. Once you start cutting, it's already sufficient according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's enough. Chacham Amar no. Actually, you have to cut it. It retains the tumah until you cut it into pieces smaller than 5 tefachim square. Now, 5 tefachim square is fairly large. When you might less than 5 tefachim square, we're saying it's kosher. But according to Rabbi Shlakish, as long as it retains this leather, the size of a handkerchief, it should be still tameh. And 5 tefachim is less than 5 tefachim, is still bigger than a handkerchief. Says the Mark, when you might less than 5, the Mishnah is saying it's going to be tar. In fact, the Mar of Amai, why is it tar? Leim achashiv. Mara says, a classic Hachem Askinam, we have to make it a Kibta. The case over there was where it was a cloth that was used for, it was only used for, it was designated for a Zardus, a Zav, to sit in it. Really, not for a Zav. It was designated to be sat on in general, and a Zav sat in it. So once you made it too small, this less than the 5 Tachim, it's no longer suitable for sitting. It's Batul the Shem Kli of sitting, and therefore it loses the Shem Kli, and therefore becomes Tar. But Enechrami, if it was something that theoretically would be normal to use it for a kerchief, it would still be a kli, would still retain the shame tuma, and would have to wait for Hir of Shemesh to become tar. Zakta Mishnah. Our sheish l'kadai is baser. Back to the din of nevela, we know the hide of the animal, the skin, does not have the nevela, the baser does, but you need a kazayas of baser. What if you have our sheish l'kadai is baser? You have hide with a kazayas of baser on it, attached to it. There's a sliver of meat next to this kazayas of baser. There's a sliver that's connected to it that juts out from it. Halach is, if you touch the sliver of meat, don't think it's considered, it's going to fall off eventually, it's separate from the meat, and not tumas tumas nevela. That sliver of meat, which is connected to the rest of the meat, is tumas tumas nevela. Furthermore, v'sar is connected to tumas. If he touches the hair on the back side of the hide, so you have the meat, that's the nevela really, the hide, which is not really tumas tumas nevela by itself, batsim, and you have hair sticking out of the hide. Since the mice of the hide is a yad or a shamer for the meat, for the nevela, and the hair goes through the, we spoke about earlier, goes through the hide, exactly. Therefore, one will become tummy for touching the hair opposite the meat. Hayil of Shein Chatzisim, we quoted this yesterday. What if there were 2 half kazesim attached to the hide? So now, for tumas maga, you don't have, because each time you touch, you're touching only half. But masa, when you lift the entire ur, you are lifting a full kazesim of meat, but they're still separate. How do we view it? Machlekes. But the type of masa like maga, the very Mishmael says maga is maskim. There is not, but masa there is because you're lifting a full kazayis at once. Rabbi Kiva, no. Let maga the masa. Doesn't any of the above doesn't maga or masa. Umayd Rabbi Kiva. B'shnei chazayisim shachat tachfan b'kisim v'sitan. He took a toothpick and you stabbed on the toothpick on this little stick. You stabbed 2 half kazayisim of nevela meat. You put it on the toothpick, so now it's together on one toothpick. Over there, if you move it, shutame, he's made over there. There is tumas masa, tumah of moving it. What's the difference? Why by or not?
Like a shish kebab.
Right? So over there, but over there, it gives off tumah, yeah, for masa. May my Rabbi Akiva mitar ba'ar. Then why by R? When you lift the whole R with two half kazesim, why over there does not taste tame? So you have this, you point out the stig of the night, you as well. Mesha ar mevatlan. The ar is mevatlan. It's not stam that because half a kazayis is not chashiv, and you're flaying it, and you focus on the ar, and the meat's butt to the ar, therefore it's nothing. It's not so much even, sounds like it's not so much the das of the fellow. It's the power of the hide, which is so much bigger, so much more chashiv. It's mevatl the basar, and therefore it makes it nothing. So essentially, Rabbi Akiva is saying it's irrelevant to Gemara. It's not that two chatzkes can't be combined together, because we see by the spit, by the shpud, by the, what do you call it?
Shish kebab.
The shish kebab, yeah. Over there we see that it is mistarif. But by the ur, it's not mistarif, because the ur serves as a bittel, it nullifies the status of the meat, because it's bittel to the ur, which in itself is not nevela. Amarula. Amar Bechran. Leshon
Olesho Patase
Chaya. Sorry?
Has to be touching.
When? On the spit, I'm not sure. No. I'm not sure. Wow. No, that's what's come out. You lift it at the same time. He doesn't say you tell me for touching. You're right. For tumas touching, the chur would have to be touching each other. Right. Correct. But for tumas lifting it or moving it, right. You're moving the whole shish kebab at once. Right. It's got a kazayas. Even if the kazayasim are separate on that stick, I would think it's, yeah. Right. Amar Ula, similar to the case of Ar, but doesn't have the bittul of Ar. Amar Ula, Rabbi Yechanan, Leishanu, Ella, Paltasai, Chaya. Yeah, it's pretty clear. Rashi says that even though it's not from Makam Echad, and then it's someone before they change the gears, Rashi also is pretty clear, ain't a Makam Echad. Okay, so we had this spur already a couple of days. Avo paltas a second battle. This that now it's a shal where Ula is qualifying. Ula said they rebechanan that when the meat is attached to the hide, that was saying that it gives off tuma, the person who touches it. It becomes tummy is only where it was ripped off by an animal. The animal was mevatel the basar to the hide. It doesn't have das b'chal. It was just a random act of an animal. And therefore retains the shem tumma. Al the potassa sakan, if a guy was flaying it himself, when he's flaying it, it's pashut that the meat is considered 100% like ur, like hide, and it will not transmit tumma, even if there is a kazayi-sized piece. It's batel to the ur, the guy's mevatel it, and it will not transport tumma. How big are you going to go? You tell me when it's cut by a person and he's vatal to the hide. He doesn't care about it. It's inconsequential. It's not. It doesn't give off tumma. It's not nevela. Even my kazayas. How big does it go? Even does it go even to the shear of a katarta? Katarta is like a larger measure. It's around six beitzim. I'm only in. I feel the kanafi even the size of a sieve. I'm only in. Ula said yes. Amalei Holei Kim, Rav Nachman said to Ula, really? Lashon Shvua. Imamalei Rav Yechon, but Pumilei Tzitzim. Forget about it. You're telling me that Rav Yechon had held this. Even if Rav Yechon was standing here in front of me and says, I don't care how big the meat attached to the skin is. If the guy flays it and cuts off some meat and leaves it and it's connected to the hide, he's in vatel no matter how big it is. Rav Yechon told me, even if it's the size of whatever, it's still vatel. I would not agree to him. Even if he's standing in front of me, I wouldn't agree to what he's saying. I don't agree that it would be vatel. Kisoka Vashai Lashkei Rabbami. When Rav Yechon went up to Bavel, to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel, he bumped Rav Ami, Amash Baitik Amei, he said over this whole conversation, this discussion, Hakam Ula Vachar Rav Nachman, he said over the conversation with Ula and Rav Nachman, Amay Rav Ami said to Rav Yishaya, Mishad Rav Nachman, Chasad Yibin Asiyahu, because Rav Nachman, he was married to the Reish Klusa, he was married to the Bein Asi, so because he was married to a prestigious family, so Mazal Zabash Baitik Rebechon, that gives him right to be Mazal Zabrechon's member. If Rebechon had said it, how could he say, even if he stood in front of me and said it, I wouldn't agree. If Rebechon said it, he should give it chashivas. Zimnan, Ashkel Yosef Kamerle, a Seifa. Rav Yishai found Rav Ami afterwards teaching this halacha by the Seifa. So remember, Rav Yishai went up to Eretz Yisrael and he repeated this conversation, this interaction to Rav Yishai, and Rav Yishai had a taina that Rav Nachman was being dismissive of Rav Yechanan. Another time, Rav Ami overheard Rav Yishai teaching the same member of Rav Yechanan, but look how he taught it. Hay olav shnei chatzes esim mitame b'masa v'le b'maga. If there's a piece of hide with two half kzeisim on it, it's matama maga masa. Sorry, but not maga. Lifting it once, matama masa, but it's not maga because you're not touching it once. Divrei Bishmav Rekiva Hamer like maga like masa. That's like our Mishnah. Am Rabbi Yechanan Leshen El Paltechaya. So, but according to this version, Rabbi Yechanan was qualifying it over there by a case. Again, according to the first version, it was a classic piece of hide with a full kazayas on it, and Rabbi Yechanan was saying, I don't care how much it's a short bottle. Now
Rav Ami was teaching Rav Yechiel's memo somewhere else. It was where you had meat separated in multiple locations, and it's on the hide, but in separate spots. And Rav Shmuel is saying it's tamei masa, and Rav Akiva is saying not even tamei masa. Now that Rav Yechiel qualifies and says leshenal patas lechaya patas asakam batal. If it was being done by chaya, that's where that's machlekes. But if it's done by a knife, then for sure it's nullified. Even Rav Shmuel agrees that the two have kazesim are mitzdarif to make a shear amalei. And Rav Yishaya heard that this was Rav Ami's version of Rav Yechiel's memra. So Mara Seif Masna. So Rav Yishaya said to him, "You teaching on the Seif of the Mishnah Amalein? Velula Reisha Amalein." So he asked back to him, "You mean Ula when you said to me that story? Ula's going on the Reisha Amalein?" Rav Yishaya said, "In, yeah, that's what I meant." Amalei Olekim Yamalei Yeshua Benum Mishmele Tzimalei. So now he got stark. Remember, Rav Ami was upset. They're not upset. Even if Rav Yechiel was saying his own name, I wouldn't agree. With his own mouth, I wouldn't agree. So now that they clarified the mistake, Rav Ami tore it on the Seifa, and Rav Nachman's memo was on the Reisha. So now Rav Ami backed up and said, like Rav Nachman, he said, even if Rav Yishua Benun, I wouldn't listen on the Reisha. On the Reisha to say a classic kazayis in one spot put together by a buzzer attached to hide is not tummy, no matter how big it gets, it's not going to be tummy, it's butt to the hide. If it's cut by a person, that is something which I wouldn't listen, even if Yishua Benun told me. But that wasn't the conversation. Our conversation was where it's in two separate places already to begin with. Is this Mistarif? That's a different conversation. And that's where Birkin had his memory. So we've qualified it. Now it's more understandable. Kiyasar Avin, V'chol Nechaisei, V'chol Nechaisei, Amru Aresha. When Ravin came down with all those that came from Aresol to Bavel, they taka said Rabbi Yechiel's Alacha on the Resha taka, the way we didn't like it before, on the Resha. V'lakasha. We have the kasha. What's takam shat? Because I'm Rav Papa. The answer will be Rav Papa. And Rav Papa said the gabe. Another part of the Mishnah will come up again later. Bimerudad b'am lamed. Bimerudad hachanami. Bimerudad. Merudad means it's very flat. So yeah, there's not all kazaisim of meat are equal. You can have a kazaisim of meat that's a nice big chunk of meat, a nice like round chunk of meat. You also have a kazaisim of meat that's like a pancake, or even flatter, extremely flat, round. Like very, 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 very thin, but if you would mush it together, it's a kazayas. Now, that's all nice when the meat is by itself. Picture now connected to hide, connected to the skin. If I have like a ball, a kazayas connected to the skin, it's beautiful. It's chashivas. If you take it off, eat it as a ball, it could cook the meat. But if I have it spread out thin, very, very thin next to the hide, all across, like just like little beard hairs, you'd have to go shave it off. No one's using their shavings. Even if it's two kazesim, three kazesim, it's too small, each part next to the hide. It's not worth the effort. So that's where we're saying now, where we said, even a sieve, even a bigger shear, is going to be batal. And the answer is yes. Because it's so thin, close up to the hide, that meat is batal to the hide, no matter how big it is. That's what we're saying.
The job wasn't very good.
Yeah. Right. Well, he got a little bit of meat in there. Maybe they didn't properly water before that. Okay. Yeah. Hayo Olav. We said in the Mishnah, if there's two Efkazesim on the hide, so we said that Tumas Maga, everyone agrees doesn't have. Tumas Masu and Machlaikis, Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Akiva Shmuel said that it does have, lifting it, because he's lifting the whole full Kazayas, Rabbi Akiva says not. Amar Barpada. Leshan El Macharov. This that Rabbi Shmuel says, there's no Tumas Maga. Is only when you're touching the hide, the skin. So you're touching not the meat side. You're touching the hide opposite the meat. You're not going to have tuma. Avam alafanav, where he's touching the front, the two chatzik zaysim, yesh noiga v'chayz v'noiga. You can touch this chatzik zayis and then this chatzik zayis and have a sheer now of maga of a full kazayis and have tuma. So actually, Jeffrey asked us yesterday in the sheer, what are we if the guy touches both meats at once? With his two hands, or he spreads his fingers and touches both at once. So the truth is, Ramban learns, that's what we're talking about here. Ramban learns that is this case. When Barpada is qualifying and saying that if you're yesh negev v'chayz v'negev, it doesn't mean touching it mamish separate times. You're touching it separate hands, or separate areas, that's called touching. That's this case. Pashtas, when we learn the qualification of Barpada, we're learning it. I'm not saying I'm arguing the Ramban, but the way the simple way of touching it would be that you actually did two separate acts. Touch one, touch the other, since it's one after the next, and it's the same.
You can tell me anyway if you touch it once.
No, because why? Only one is half a kazayas.
So you'd be half tummy?
Which is not tummy.
Huh?
Which is not tummy. You'd not be tummy. Yeah, so, okay. But he's being mechadish, Barpada's being mechadish, and Rishmo would agree, if you touch both halves on the meat itself, you'd be tummy. And again, we're just going to point out the Ramban learns it means you're touching both halves at once. Others aren't as particular. Okay.
One after the other.
Sorry?
Change one after the It's one after the other?
That's the simple lesson of the Gemara. Yesh neiga, chayzer v'neiga. Correct. Because you touch both halves of this nevela, and the halves are connected by the R.
Let's say they weren't connected by the R.
No, the lechayr not.
Why not?
Because you don't have nevela. But it's a bunch of partial shiurim. You don't have any full shiur nevela.
If anything, the R makes it worse in a way than if it wasn't. Meaning, we said that the R is so chashiv, at least in the other case, in another, I don't say a scenario, but the fact that it's...
Oh, yeah, so you know what? It's not just the Ramban. I take it back. As you have here, they bring in the Haris that it's Ran, Rush, they all seem to hold it. So we'll leave the question. They all seem to hold it. It's talking about we touched it at once. If you touch it separately, it would not... I quote it just from the Ramban.
But it only has to be connected to the R?
Now that you touch it at once, I'm not sure if you mean that.
Because we said in a way the R makes it worse, right?
Alzbittel, correct.
What?
Alzbittel.
Well, that... Oh, yeah. So if it wasn't connected to the
R... Yeah, no, now that you touch it at once, I'm not sure if you mean that. I was only saying that on the side that you could touch one after the other. But it seems like Rosh Hashanah saying you have to touch it at once. And if that's the case... I don't know if you need that at all. Okay. You can't touch it separately. It will not make maga, even in that case. Other bechot, the goes going to the reason number bechot. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yisrael ben Urkas, Amr Devech, Rabbi Shmuel ben Urkas, both sets of melachas. It's both the gabi tumah that you can't combine two chatzitumas. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel is the one we just said. You can't combine two hefekzesim. And where's Rabbi Yisrael ben Urkas? The time we learned in the Mishnah, come at tamim ba'ayel, shenechlu. We know there's a certain shiur for tumas ayel, right? Because ayes of basar, or vias of dam. As soon as you have a certain amount of bones, right? So that makes tumas ayel from a maize, in an ayel. So what if you born at the bias? You had half shirim, two different components, half blood and half the share of meat, let's say, of flesh, or half the share of bones. Rabbi Yisrael ben Urkas says, you can't combine these two half chalakim and the house remains tar. Chum says, no, since I might have both halves in the house, it becomes tameh. You see, Rabbi Yisrael ben Urkas is similar to what Rabbi Yechanan is saying in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, that you cannot combine from Maga the two halves, even though you touch them both simultaneously, it doesn't matter, you can't combine it to make a shear. You need a full shear by itself. Two halves are not going to make a shear. Similar idea, says Gemara. Lava or Bereis of Herkunas, Hasim, Emal, Vachez, Emal. Just like he said the other day, you can't make an oil and a Chez oil have two separate Chatzi shear oils and be Mistarfit. So too, Hachanami, Enege, Vachez, Venege. That's the connection, the analogy between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yisrael Herkunas. According to Rabbi Yechanan. When Rabbi Yisrael Herkunas, the Rabbi Shmuel, the Mer now just asks the question, the Mer makes an assumption. If Rabbi Yisrael Herkunas is like Rabbi Shmuel, so presumably there are a bunch of the Rabbi Yisrael Herkunas who say that the house is Tameh by the oil, half chatz, two chatz yishurim, is like Rabbi Kiva. But Rabbi Kiva by the opposite extreme. It's a funny question. Maybe you're right. Maybe the Rabban over there is the opposite of Rabbi Kiva. It says Gemara, Rabbi Kiva turim come entire. Rabbi Kiva is being entire two chatz kazesim. Totally, even for Masa, he's more lenient than Rabbi Shmuel. And if Rabbi Shmuel is like Rabbi Yisrael Herkunas, the Rabban there should be more lenient as well, and yet there'd be more machmer. Answers the Gemara, big difference. Atkal come entire, Rabbi Kiva, Elab Ar. It's a big difference between R, Rabbi Kiva's Matar, by the case of two Chatzik Zaysim by R. Whereas Ba'alma, in general, Rabbi Kiva would agree that two halves can yes combine. The Mer explains a proof to this. Kitani Seifa, the case of Hasetan, Shutame. We emphasize this when we read the Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva's Maida, that if you took on your, back to your shish kebab, if you took your stick, your spit, and you put two chatzkezim on it, and you moved it, you are Tame. So you see clearly he's the star of two Fshirim. So if that's the case, and therefore you can be the Rabbanan of the Mishnah Lagabe Ayil, that it could be the same Rabbanan as Machmer there. So what's Takab Shat that by two if Kazesim on the R it's Tar? Mishnah itself addresses it and says, Mima Rabbi Kiva Matar, but R is different. Mesha R, there's a point just you focused on a moment ago, Yuda. But R is Mavatalai, the R itself is Mavatalan, that's a separate reason why it's not Mistarif, but therefore otherwise it would yes be Mistarif. Masar Ukvachama. Ukvachama asked the following question. But if also Pasuk says that this question is going on Barpada. It's going on Barpada, who said that according to Bishmo, you can yes combine two acts of touching the Chatzik Zesim to have an act of Negea, Yesh Negea, Chanegea, and a Summit of his Maga. Benevlasim, we darshan, Vilay Barsh, Yesh Lav Shen Chatzik Zesim. Benevlasim is Bima Mayat, hide, that has no two of Zesim, is excluded. Yachav Masa, I don't think it's excluded even in carrying it. Tamlema Vanes Yitma. It says Vanes Yitma, the one who carries his tummy. Now, so Masa would be tummy. Who is this author? It fits like a glove, though I had it earlier. From Bishmo, to Rabbi Shmo. It's Rabbi Shmo who says that Thomas Maga there is, but he's clearly saying, He seems to have having Tumas Maga, yes. Sorry, Tumas Masa, yes. Not Tumas Maga. It'll be more clear coming up. The Raya is not even so clear yet. Rabbi Kiva Aimer, Hanegea Vanesi. The puzzle describes by Nevela touching it or carrying it is Tame. We darshan as follows. Eshe Belchamaga Belchamasa. Le Belchamaga Le Belchamasa. That which is Shaykh to have Maga can have Masa. That which is not Shaykh Maga does have Masa. And therefore, since there's no Maga here, there won't be Masa. But according to Barpada, Rabbi Shmuel holds there could be Maga. Bishlam, if you go like a Bechanan, even Rabbi Shmuel agrees there's no Maga. So Rabbi Kiva is telling Rabbi Shmuel, wherever there's Maga, there can be Masa. Since there's no Maga, there's no Masa. But according to Barpada, there is Maga. Why? If you touch it, v'chayz you don't touch it. The meat directly, v'misa hari balucha maga l'milafanav. Touching it on the inside by the meat itself is maga. And if you touch one and touch the other, you'd be tummy. So what is Rabbi Kiva saying that since it's not babucha maga, it's not babucha masa, it is shaykh to maga. Amarava hachkamer esha balucha maga b'chalat sad. You have to Rabbi Kiva darshan the pasuk that which has maga on either side has masa as well. Balucha masa lebalucha maga b'chal zad. That which doesn't have maga on either side, meaning it's only maga if you touch the inside. But if you touch the outside hide, it won't have maga. Then lebalucha masa, it won't have masa either. And therefore, this brace, you can read the brace and still shtim with bar pada. By minayir, if you have saba merava barvuna, kulias stuma lebishma mausha tami. So kulias is a type of bone that's near the like thigh area. The important nakuta of it is that it's fully sealed. What's on the bone? We're talking about his own meat on the bone on the outside. We're talking about with his marrow in the bone. Stamza has marrow in the bone. So it has a dinner nevela because of the marrow in the bone. It's edible and it has the nevela. On the flip side, it's fully sealed off and you can't get to the meat. So the shayla is, could it transmit tuma through masa? Kliya stuma l'reb mishmol ma'ashitama. Yisrael mishmol eshe b'l'chamaga b'l'chamasa l'b'l'chamaga l'b'l'chamasa. Does he hold the concept of Rabbi Kiva's drash at all? That which is subject to maga has masa. That which is not subject to maga does have masa. And hacha any time mishum deba mechlal maga melefanav. And according to this, sorry, Rabbi Shmuel only holds when it has maga is the shaykh masa. No maga, no masa. And by the case of the baser, two chatzik zayis baser on the hide over there, the reason why it has masa according to Rabbi Shmuel is because it has maga too on the inside. Masha ain kain. This bone which has marrow in it, no maga on the inside, will be excluded. Or he just disagrees, Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with the whole lundus. Doesn't disagree with the fact that there is just with the simple fact that there's maga on baser. He disagrees with the whole tliya. You don't have to have maga in order to have masa, and vice versa. In which case, which part?
If there's no maga, there's no masa. Like why?
That was the Russia. That was the
gzeiras kasa.
Correct. Russia. Yeah. So according to the second tzad, then the bone would have tuma. Amalei uvra pireach. So Rabbi Rav Huna, he deflected the question. He's like, oh wow, look, there's a flying raven. He just wanted to distract him. Al b'rava brace, Rav's son said to him, "V'lafan Rav Avia sapin papadisa." Isn't this the elder of Rav Avia from papadisa? The mishach beit le'mar gavri the gav rabahu that you Rav Huna have told us you've praised him about him. He's this gav rabah. He's this great man. So why are you deflecting his question? Amalei, because I need yem some kunim hashishas. I had episode to drink today. And it's a tough question, and I'm not in the right frame of mind to answer it. He asked me something that needs a lot of reasoning, a lot of logic, and my brain's not there to give it to him. So I have to distract him and deflect the question because I don't have the ability to answer him in the present state of mind. Amrullah.
Sorry, just a second, quickly. The marrow's in the bone, and therefore because...
So it's not Shaykh Maga.
What about a regular animal? A regular animal that dies is a nevela. Let's assume...
That's what I'm talking about.
We're talking about marrow now. If you have a regular animal that dies, it's an nevela, and we have.
But normally, the bone is exposed in some part. It's somehow open over here. It's fully sealed.
If I have an animal that dies,
that's what's unique about this.
If I have an animal that dies,
yeah.
Let's assume, because I think the Gemara talked about different types of animals. This animal.
So yeah, the difference between the bone and the hide is that even when there's skin around it, you can still access the buster somehow. You can still stick your hand in the animal. It's still accessible to touch the buster. The bone is fully sealing off the marrow. So a separate tanai, you're right, shomer or yad is a reason to allow the outside to make it susceptible to them as well. But that's only where you could actually touch the item itself. If you can't get to the item itself, which right now you can't, of course you could theoretically break the bone. But until you break the bone, you can't get to the item itself, it's fully sealed. Therefore, there would be no din shomer. That's what they explain the distinction. So Amarula, sheikhat tzeisim shachim v'kisim, if you stuck 2 half tzeisim on a spit, afil melchum evi kalyam kulay, even if he carries it back and forth the whole day, tar. He's tar. My taima. Ksiv nisa. The Karina Nase. It says Nisa, that which is carried, but we read it Nase, Nase, one who carries. Bina Nase, Vu Nisi Vasachas. We need a situation that one's carrying Idem Velamit, which he is doing, but it's carried, meaning as one. It's got to be carried as one entity, and otherwise it's not going to be Tame. Obviously, what's the question? Tan, Hello Sheikh Hatzis Esim, Tame Masav Magad de Ribishmol. So right away from Bishmol says, Tame Masav, why? Am I Vele Nisa? I'm a Papa Memorudud. The Mishnah's case was where there is a thin, we touched at the top of the Amud, a thin piece of meat that does connect between the two pieces. So it is considered connected enough to be Epis 1, even though that thin piece of meat is really not Chashiv itself, but it's enough to connect it and make it as if it's one. Tashima Amadir Bekiva, Sheikh Azizim, Shetach from the case of Hesed Eitan, Shutame, that if you have two Hefazizim on a spit and he moves it, Yitame, Amad, it's Mamish's case. Halab Nisu, it's not carried as one, meaning it's not Mamish attached. Hachanami Mimrudud, you have to see Rabbi Kiva's case talking about we're in between the two pieces of meat. They talk, Hershey has said before, that they're separate. They were separate, but there's epis, a strip of meat connecting them. Says the Gemara, this discussion is actually Machlekes Tanai, Kitanai. Echel Negev, Echel Meset. Rabbi Lazar Eimer, Afan Naseh, even one who carries. Alto Naislav Meset, one who's carrying is not moving it. Negev means touching it, sorry. And Meset means moving it. And Lazar Kemal says, even one who carries. Well, one who carries is certainly be Meset too. El Avachkam, what's coming to say? Echel Negev, Echel Meset, B'lay Nisa. One who's touching, but one who moves by Nevela, even meat that cannot be carried as one, it's enough to make Tuma, meaning two not attached pieces, you can make Tuma through Maga and Maset without carrying. Carrying not. Vasa Blaz Lameimar, Vunisa, that which is carried as one, is when it's become Tame, if it can't be carried as one, it's not Tame. Mayaf. Ema, the Mara says, you're right, switch from Af to Vuhu Denisa. That Af is not coming to be more inclusive, it's coming to qualify. Only if it could be carried as one. And again, how can it be carried as one? Like I spoke up before, there's some sort of connection between the two chilakim to make it attached. That will be the case where you have a tumma of Maga Masa and Nisa. Pick it up for tomorrow. But again, tomorrow we'll do it via the conference.